Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
My name is Lori Bradner with Florida Aviation Network, and I'm thrilled to be with you today. We are here today at the Seminole Lake Glider Port for the Soaring Society of America, the 24th annual Senior Contest, the Glider Contest. And I have a very special guest with me today, Mr. Thomas Nuff. Mr. Nuff, thank you. And it's lovely to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about today and what our viewers can expect and what they're going to see? We've got a beautiful day for gliding, I think.
Well, it is a beautiful day. It's sunny and bright, and we're expecting good soaring conditions.
So
the guys, we've got close to 60 gliders here. I don't know the exact count.
Okay.
And so they'll be flying all up and down the central part of Florida here.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about your role here today, Mr. Nuff? Tom, what brings you here today? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, if you're talking about this, I was asked to do something for the Soaring Safety Foundation, which is an organization I founded, by the way, many years ago.
Okay.
And so I've done a lot of safety things, and today I'm going to be talking about some of the accident causes in the sport. In all of aviation, there are issues to deal with on flight safety, and so I'm going to target one specific area and demonstrate the statistics of how our major problems tend to be centered around the actual takeoff phase, interestingly enough, flight preparation and takeoff phase. And so I'm going to talk about that.
Most people, for those of us that are new to flying and new to flight, we would think that would happen more in the stall and the spin later in flight. But you're saying that statistics are showing that it's actually during takeoff. And does that translate as well to motored aircraft?
I think so. I absolutely believe that's true. And one of the difficulties in accident statistics is trying to determine what actually occurred. And frankly, many accidents are never even reported. So what I did is I concentrated on the fatalities, which are always reported, and I'll show how the phases of flight when those accidents occurred. And there's some very surprising details that I've uncovered here that I don't think most people have recognized. And I would say that in many ways that's going to relate to power flying as well.
That's awesome. Now you've got, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and you were telling me you have a very, very long and very rich history in aviation. Would you share a little bit of that with our viewers and where you got your start? I was very intrigued when you were telling me the story, and I have to let them in on the secret. So
okay.
Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I know you're referring to how I got started in aviation.
Yes.
Back in the 40s, but in the late 40s, my neighbor had a J3 Cub, took me for my first power flight, and then we built model airplanes and so on. And then when I got to an age when I could start taking flying lessons, I decided that the best place to take the lessons were at Lock Haven. Piper Aircraft was there. It was 27 miles from my home, and this is before I could drive a car. And so I saved my money because lessons cost $8 an hour. Who would pay that much money to learn to fly? I don't know.
We only wish it was $8 an hour. No.
That's what it was. And I knew you had to have 8 hours of dual training in order to solo. And so I saved my money, and I got up way before dawn on my single-speed bicycle up and down these mountain hills and whatnot to get to that airport. And I got there early enough that morning to do my 8 hours that day because I didn't want to have to make that trip again with my bicycle. And, of course, I got my obligatory half-hour lesson and sent home. So it was a bit discouraging. It took me a long time to get to the solo point.
Now, what do you fly now, Tom? And where do you reside? Are you a resident here in Florida, or where do you live?
No. We live in central Pennsylvania, right next door to Penn State University. My wife and I own a rather famous glider port called Ridge Soaring Glider Port.
Okay.
And that's where we work, and that's where we live and what we do.
Okay, and that's your wife, Doris?
That's my wife, Doris. Okay. She's equally famous.
Fabulous. And I understand that you have touched show business a little. This is another story that you told us, and certainly gliding is a wonderful sport, not only for recreation, but we also see it in the movies.
That's
quite
right.
often, and you were telling me a little bit, and this is just a little tidbit I think our viewers might be interested in.
Well,
could
we,
you tell us a little
we
bit
had
about
the
oppor- that?
We had the opportunity to do the Thomas Crown Affair remake, and the original Thomas Crown Affair, there was about a...
Well, I believe they're getting up in the air now, which is
right.
fabulous.
Anyway, the original Thomas Crown Affair had a very brief glider sequence of about 30 seconds, where a guy did, you know, the little bit thing and landed, and they wanted to basically the same thing. And so when the film crew came and we started to do the filming and they realized what we could do, they became so enamored with the glider sequence that we ended up with 4 minutes of the movie time, which in a 90-minute movie is a very high percentage of the time. So we were very pleased and satisfied with what they were willing to do for us.
That's fabulous. Now, comparatively, Ridgeport, your glider port that you and your wife own, how long has that been around? When did you establish that?
This is our 40th year.
That's
unbelievable. By the way, we also founded this contest. This was one of our original ideas for the seniors right here, in Florida. And this is, I think, the 25th year, I believe.
24th. It's the 24th year. Can you tell us a little bit about the competition? I'm new to gliding. I'm new to the world of aviation. I do better in front of the camera and behind the camera. Can you tell us a little bit about the competition and what people can expect? Because I know that it's open to the public.
Yep.
And we certainly would love to have all of you that are listening, anyone in the vicinity, come out and visit us today. We've got a gorgeous day. But can you tell us a little bit about the competition, what the pilots are expecting, as well as what the public can expect?
Well, you have to appreciate that these are motorless aircraft. They're gliders, and there's nearly 60 gliders in this competition, and they come from all over the country. And it's the seniors, like we concentrated on. You have to be 55 years old, and that's not very senior.
No, it is not. As good.
But and I don't know what the oldest individual. Last year, the oldest pilot was 87 in the contest. He's not here this year.
That's fabulous.
And so I don't know who's the oldest in this time. So there's close to 60 gliders here at the competition, and we will all be launched about noon. And there's a committee that says, okay, you got to fly from here to there and there and back. So it'll be a distance and speed. So you have to fly a particular task. They all fly the same task, and then whoever flies the fastest wins, basically.
Okay.
The task, we will fly from here all the way up to Ocala, down to Sebring. You know, it's a fairly large area. The typical task is 100 miles to 150 miles for this competition. And whoever does it the fastest wins. Basically. And it's all handicapped because the gliders have different performance and capabilities, and it's all handicapped.
Based on the gliders. Now, can you tell us, I believe that you have, excuse me if I mispronounce this, is there an Arcus?
Yeah, there's
glider
an Arcus
here.
Yeah, that's
can
one
you
of
tell
them.
Us a little bit about the different gliders that people can see and some of the different models that they'll be out here to see? Now, the Arcus is a motorized?
Well, there's different motor gliders, and the Arcus can be motorized. Like it doesn't have to be, but it depends on whatever you want to buy.
Okay.
Like our particular glider was one that came out before the Arcus came out. It's called a Duodiscus. They're both basically the same. And the Arcus is a later version with some improvements. And like in our case, we have what's called a sustainer engine in our glider. And so
can you explain that for the lay people?
we can't take off with this thing.
Okay.
And it's just not enough power to do that. But once we are airborne, we're towed up by another power plane, a tow plane, and then once we're up there flying, then we can, if necessary, we can push a button and this engine comes out and it'll prevent us from landing in some farm field someplace.
Okay.
So most of the gliders do not have that capability. Most of them, if they can't stay up, if they can't find lift in the atmosphere to sustain them, they'll end up in landing it in some farm field or another airport or something like that. Frankly, that's rare. That rarely happens. Like we We select soaring days when the conditions are good and predictable that everybody will make it around.
Okay.
So it's unusual for someone to land.
And I'm sure the thermals in Florida help. I know just some.
It's a great place. It's a great place for flying, especially this time of year when it's not any good anywhere else in the country, and that's why we're here. And
is the snow in Pennsylvania, by the way?
Pretty bad. We fly very large distances and at fairly good speeds too here, right. And so it's not unusual for us to fly as much as 300 miles at speeds of close to 100 miles an hour in an aircraft that doesn't have a motor. So it's pretty impressive, really, what's capable.
Now let me ask you. I know that there's the sports class, the pure class, the open class. Where does this fit as far as competitions go? And is the senior a class itself? Again, can you explain to our viewers a little bit about the different classes of competition for the gliders?
We try to make it so everybody can not only compete but be competitive.
Okay.
So someone can show up here with a glider that doesn't have very good performance compared to the more modern sailplanes. And so they're given a handicap. All of the gliders are handicapped by some factor so that it equalizes the scoring process.
Okay.
And so the smaller glider won't fly as fast or as far, and the bigger, the more modern sailplanes will fly faster. But then with the handicap, it equalizes it. And so so even the people that are flying the lowest performing sailplanes are still competitive.
Is that what differentiates each of the classes,
mm-hmm.
Open, sport? Then that's what's going to differentiate each of the classes.
Exactly.
Based on the aircraft.
So you'll see very long wingspans and very short wingspans.
Okay.
You'll see single place and two place motor gliders and non-motor gliders, but they're all categorized in this handicap system so that it equals it. Everything's equal.
Okay. Now let me ask you, everyone is being lifted by a tow plane. Now I also understand with gliding, I'm learning quite a bit, and I thank you for your patience with me. There's also what they call winch towing.
Winch.
And,
Winch
is different.
Winch is different. This is
that's
winch.
That's mid-TV. So
you won't see that here.
Okay. And what is that? And where is that? That was something I was totally unfamiliar with, obviously.
Yeah.
But where are they using that now?
Well, it's not terribly common,
okay.
Winch launching in the country. There are some locations where it's done, and we can do it, and it requires more manpower, and it reduces the cost of flying.
What is it
to
exactly?
Some number.
Can you explain?
Well, it's a motorized. It's a device that has like a V8 engine, automobile type engine, and a great big drum and a wire. And that wire is on a reel, and so they pull this reel out to the one end of the runway where they hook up the glider to that cable.
Okay.
And then the winch is at the other end of the runway, and then the V8 engine causes this drum to rotate and pull this cable in and pull the glider forward.
Almost like a kite.
Almost like a kite, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very like a fishing reel, if you think of a fishing reel.
Yes.
And it's very similar to that. So it's labor intensive, but it's an economical way of launching a sailplane. It takes more time if you have a lot of gliders. It's not practical for like a soaring contest.
Now, how many tow planes are being used out here? If you've got 60 gliders, how many tow planes do you have?
Yeah.
And where do your tow pilots come from? Where are you getting the tow pilots from?
Well, I'm not part of the organization of this thing, so I don't know where everybody comes from. But
they're
pretty local in Florida. There's different glider clubs around the state of Florida, and many of them are cooperating by providing these different aircraft. I think there's about six of them. I'm not certain of that, but I believe there's six tow planes. Most of them are Piper Pawnees, but they can be other aircrafts too. But
okay.
The old crop dusters that are no longer viable as crop dusters. I mean, crop dusters today are huge aircraft, but
right. And
the old Piper Pawnees were limited in how much they can carry. So that they've become tow planes. So
now I must ask you, I know you're doing your briefing. At what time is your briefing, Tom, with people? And is it open to the public if people would like to come and listen?
Well, it is open, but it's going to happen. It's going to actually happen here very shortly in the next minutes, I would think.
Okay.
And I'll be talking about glider safety, and it'll be specifically really towards the glider pilots who are actively flying.
Okay.
I think those are the ones. That's the audience that's going to be most interested in what I have to say.
And I must ask, are you going to be flying today? Are you and your lovely wife Doris going to be flying today?
My wife and I'll be flying as a team, and we'll be ready. Matter of fact, we're up near the front of the grid, so I need to get this finished so I can go and get ready to go flying.
Well, Tom, I want to say thank you to you. It has been a pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking the time today and speaking with
me. We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network. an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.